Welcome back. Second hour of the first show of After Hours for the year 2018. We kind of made it through another year. This is unbelievable. There were times when I was in my 30s, it was like a, you know, 1 to 5 that I wouldn't make it. It is my pleasure to have in here. There's a new show opening at one of my favorite theaters, the 16th Street Theater in Berwyn. Ann Filmer, who runs the theater, who founded the theater, who directs many of the shows, themes each show. And the theme for this season is heroes. And it begins with a show called Harbor Gate, H-A-R-B-U-R Gate, which is kind of three plays in one. Is it not Christina McCloskey and Christian Isley? It's like three. Christian is not in the show, but he's a consultant to the show. He's going to be in a show later in the Heroes season. Mm-hmm. You were the assistant director. Are you sloughing off tonight? What are you doing here?
I was graciously substituted in as our fearless leader is at tech at this very moment.
And Christian, the show is a kind of, am I saying, it's kind of like a, it's not a trilogy, but it's a three-part show. Can you explain it if you could?
So it's of three separate sections.
Okay.
And so
are there three acts?
Three acts, as it were, and okay. They each have their own title. So
right.
We have.
Even I've got that in.
Yeah, you have. Yeah, you have the breakdown.
They're self-contained, but they also. Kind of interlock.
They're thematically, I mean, they all take place.
Well, they interlock in ways that are unforeseen and you know.
You can't give away all the secrets.
Exactly. No, I don't want to do that at all. But they are all set in Iraq?
No, just the middle.
Just the middle section. So essentially, it is based around these groups of people, these duos per act that are unified by one singular incident that took place between Harbor Gate and Mosul on the convoy between. So as the play unfolds, or each play unfolds, as it were, you start to see how these separate lives all intertwine based on this one unifying moment and how they're all domino effect.
Oh, how big is the cast?
Six.
Six people.
Mm-hmm.
Two in each of the segments?
Correct.
Now, you came on as a advisor because you auditioned for a play for this season and you've been cast in a play for this season, correct?
Correct.
And I suppose when you were being cast and never having been an actor, they must go, okay, tell us a little about yourself. Is that what they do? Even the great Ann Filmer, she'll say, tell you a little bit about yourself. And you said, well, I've served in Iraq. And that being, how did they know you served in Iraq, thereby allowing you to become a sort of advisor for this show?
I think when I was auditioning, I read about or read the plays because I actually get my hands on the script beforehand.
Were you auditioning for this specific show?
No, sir. No, but
you really don't have to call me, sir.
It was any one of them I would have been glad to do. So I was reading aside from Wolf Within the Block, which is the next show, but I meant to mention that I had read Harbor Gate. And I was an Iraq vet, and I did find that to be a very well-researched, truthful show. And I had seen some other Iraq-themed shows. And
that you didn't find well-researched.
No, yeah, and that was sort of painful.
The interesting thing is this is written by a playwright I don't know, a
Kathleen Cahill.
Cahill. What does she know about Iraq?
I think she just did a research. She spent a lot of time with veterans in,
Salt Lake City. She reached out through their VOA there, and she actually interviewed veterans.
Is she here while you're doing the read-through and rehearsals? You open on Thursday. I mean, previews start Thursday.
Mm-hmm. So she will be back for previews, and she was with us for the first week of rehearsals, which was huge, having her in there for that first read-through and the script analysis and going through all the nitty-gritty of the text.
Well, I know that Wallace Shawn was not in for the...
No, he came in.
Did he really?
Well, not in the beginning.
Yeah, okay.
I mean,
he came in to see it.
He was conferenced in, but he did come in to see it. But.
See, I've never written a play either, and I think
there was communications, though.
Really? That's great. They're, what are they doing tonight? They're doing a run-through or a read-through?
They're in
or?
The midst of a run-through with all the technical elements.
Full dress or no?
Full dress right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I, they're not even listening to the show. Well, they'll listen
they
to it later.
Be. I hope not.
Yeah, they better not be. Now, what do you do as, I'm going to talk to you both about your careers and your lives. What exactly does, what are your duties as an assistant director?
Well, it definitely depends on whether it's per this show versus per any other show.
Oh, I'm sure it's for a million different shows. I mean, there's
There's no set definition,
sure.
Which is great because each show has, you know, so many different needs that essentially you just need another set of eyes. And that's what Anne
talks. And another
to
set
me.
Of ears, too,
and
yes.
And ears and just brain space in terms of, you know, whether or not it's, can you, you know, where was that prop coming from over there? Did you happen to have eyes on that corner of the stage for this piece of blocking notation? So one person can't keep track of everything that's happening at all moments. So just being able to have another voice in the room besides the stage manager, who is wonderful, is a huge asset.
How were you drawn to the 16th Street Theater for this? You've been in Chicago for 2 years, and
we
will get back to your biographical details of your life.
Yeah.
But what drew you to 16th Street?
So I had heard about it just on the fringes of positive things. It was one of those theaters.
Yeah, when you're out drinking with other theater people.
Out drinking,
hearing about. That's what it's about.
Well, it was one of those things. It was one of those big theaters kind of on the edges of my periphery. You know, maybe one day thinking, you know, I'll get out
there. 16th Street was?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
You know, it's definitely, it's one of those, you know, once you get up a little bit more big leagues than how I was originally thinking.
And
Anne actually did this great thing, which happens so rarely, is that she posted, I am looking for an assistant director on League of Chicago Theaters.
Yeah, on their jobs listing. Sure, their website, sure.
Which is such a beautiful, rare thing that happens, because being able to find opportunities to assist and direct is posted and to apply blind, you know, not to get the shoulder tap or the referral, is so rare. So when you see it, you pounce immediately.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. I saw it, was so lucky that that's the day I checked. It had been posted that day, applied, and it was a quick turnaround. So
what was the turnaround? Did you have to sit with Anne and you must have been interviewed?
Well, she was, so we talked on the phone, and she was actually at a new play conference in Florida. So we talked on the phone while, you know, I was at my lunch break at work and during the day job. And then we had a great conversation, and she liked some of my background, and we talked a little bit about new script development, because something I worked on.
Part of it must be aesthetic, that like what, and this is really simplistic, but it's like, what kind of plays do you like? Who's your favorite playwright? I mean, some of it must be like that. Yes,
I think it depends on your passions, because it sounds so simplistic, but to say, I know, what kind of plays do you like? Good ones, tasteful ones. You know, it sounds so
well,
you know, harsh to say.
It's not so much simplistic as it is pure.
Yeah. And I mean, and of course that just depends on, you know, is it a story that needs to be told now? Is it something that strikes you? You know, is it something that moves you? And in terms of, you know, are these artists that you want to work with? And I had only heard wonderful things. So, and also, I, you know, 16th Street has such a huge history of developing new work.
Oh, God.
And that's something that
basically
I have worked on in the past as well. And so talking about that definitely got us in the same road of, I think that we have the kind of flexibility and the working with playwrights mindset that allowed us to work together.
This is going to be so much fun. You two nice young people. That's Christina McCloskey. And not talking too much yet is Christian Isley, but we will let him talk because he's from Evanston. We've got to take a little break.
The prince in orange and the prince in blue and the prince.
Now there's a great actor singing there. That's Danny Kaye singing. You guys probably don't know.
I know Danny Kaye.
Danny, he's a genius. I mean, really, really a genius. So you, Christian Isley, were brought in as a, I guess, as an unofficial or official.
Official, yeah.
Consultant. What is your, is that for this show?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you do? You say you read it, you liked it. It is Harborgate, a So to play in three interrelated acts, mm-hmm. Harborgate being the name of the American soldiers would call a military base on the Turkish-Iraqi border. To give it veracity, you said you read the play and you found it incredibly well-researched. And so are you there to sort of tweak nuances
just,
and
just
stuff?
Just the voices of the characters sounded authentic. Because like I said, only one section actually takes place in Iraq.
But these are all, sorry, again, you guys, are all six of the cast members, do they all play soldiers or veterans or people who have been in the war?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So she brought me in. She wasn't sure exactly at first how she wanted to use me and put me through drills and stuff like that. And I'm like, that's not going to work. That's not going to be safe. But I could make myself available for questions. And the actors have been working very, very hard. And some, you know, they can call and just sometimes just to have questions about, you know, psychological insight.
Really interesting.
And then there are specific things about how you hold a weapon because none of them have, you know.
Right. No, and, exactly. Yeah, right. And then it's everything from the physicality of it to the psychology of it then, yeah. Right?
This is however they want to use me. I'm not there to impose myself on them.
Yeah, right.
And so some have taken, reached out to me. And some, I think felt comfortable just handling it on their own. And there's nothing really required of me anyway.
Yeah. It sounds like if not fun, at least this has got to be very interesting for you. Yes?
Oh, I'm always need a place to go at night.
Okay. Okay.
I'm happy if any group of people is willing to have me.
You're willing to be there.
Let me talk a little bit. That's my social life.
And what's your background? You grew up in Evanston. Did you go to ETHS or
no? Okay. I was institutionalized from my freshman year to my senior year. So I was at ETHS for about a year total.
Okay.
So that'll give you an indication of, again, the kind of deep well that I have to draw from.
And, being institutionalized is a pretty deep well. I don't even know if you want to give some details or not.
Well, it was in the world-famous Menninger Clinic in Topeka, Kansas.
Sure.
I was a very problematic, troubled kid from what most people say, the jump. I think expelled from kindergarten. I had defiant.
Yeah.
Oppositional defiant disorder is, I think, what they call it. And that inevitably led to me getting an institution.
And then you kind of, not to put too fine a point on it, you kind of came back to Chicago and kind of screwed around for a while before.
Well, no, I mean, I worked. I was a manager. I mean, they were not the greatest jobs in the world, but I was always conscientious. And
did you have your eye on a career then or no?
No, I sort of floundered about.
Just a survival.
I did always have acting back there and wanting to do it, and yet I never pursued it.
Why do you think that was back there? What do you think spurred that? What do you think planned it?
I guess
that?
The easy answer is fear, and it's which would seem ironic given all that I've been through.
Yeah.
I think it was fear of following the dream, because if it ends up not working out, well, then you lose it. But if you don't pursue it, well, then it's always there to pursue.
But, there's something about acting, and I've known, so many actors over the years, from, Amy Morton, Billy Peterson, just millions of them. And for some, acting has become and was attractive because it was kind of a refuge from self, that you were, as an actor, playing somebody else for lengthy times. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, certainly. Yeah.
You think that was part of the appeal of it?
Well, I think initially it was films, and that was the escape. And then there was this thing called acting that I found out about. And then, the reasons that it is and has remained attractive change, as time goes on. Right now I'm in a space that, yes, it's an outlet. But I'm also fascinated more now by the craft, not just imposing my own baggage onto a part, but, learning how to. It's strange that it took all this kind of long and winding road.
It's a winding road. How old are you now?
I'm 43.
Wow, you look young. You really,
I like
that's
hearing
good.
That.
That's what. Yeah, I'm not an agent, but I mean that's what you like.
No,
to
hear. I don't ever get tired of hearing that.
Now let me talk to you about the reason you long story. The reason you've become a consultant for this show that opens Thursday in previews at the 16th Street Theater called Harborgate is because you enlisted and went to Iraq. Why did you do that?
Well, the answer, and I think when it comes up, and people are probably tired of hearing it.
I'm not tired.
Right.
This would be the first.
Nobody joins the infantry at 30 because they made good decisions, right? So
yeah,
I was in my 20s. I was working. Like I said, supporting myself with occasional horrifying flare-ups of violence things that it would do to get myself into trouble. And I left one job under extremely bad circumstances, I'm throwing chairs, I'm throwing fire extinguishers, I'm going and wondering if the cops are going to show up at my door once I get home. And they didn't call the cops on me, but I didn't end up working again for two years. And then and I'm applying places and I'm for the first time. Not
you must have been almost
job.
Homeless, though.
I was. And I was, and then I started drinking more. I always was a big drinker. But
it's a bad spiral.
It was death spiral. Yeah. And relationships ended and suddenly I'm all
hard,
alone.
That's hard to believe.
In an apartment, drunk. And it was.
Said, I got to get out of here.
Well, I had been arrested three times in 1 month. They released me each time. There's no charges filed, thankfully. But after the third time, I was like, I need... So I went to the recruiter's office. And so I'm a kind of in a really bad shape, 29-year-old, I think it was at the time. And they were taking everybody because there was two wars going on. They're not going well.
Yeah.
Everybody had lost faith in him just about.
Well, they must have thought, they literally must have thought anybody walking in to volunteer
take you, if you
was
had,
nuts anyway.
You could be wearing an eye patch and have a peg leg. I mean, they would take anybody, And so I signed up and I figure if I can get out of this, if I can survive this, and really I was so desperate.
How did you with a temper? I'm not gonna
that was a big concern that a lot of people had.
Psychoanalyze you. Yeah, I'm sure they did, but how did you fit into I don't care where you were working, what kind of job you had. This is the military. This
exactly.
is a structured environment.
No, that was a big concern a lot of people had. They said, you don't respond to authority well, and you are going to put yourself...
You can't really be throwing fire
at you. You can't even talk back.
Yeah.
You can't even raise your hands. You keep your hands to
yourself. You can't be throwing chairs here. Yeah.
It was a big question in a lot of people's minds, and I guess I was so down and out.
Did you have friends at this time? Did you have any friends? I mean, it sounds like you were...
In Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, when you were really down and out, that 3 years of no job.
I had one or two.
Yeah,
and they were not in positions to really be able to help me out, unfortunately. And I don't want to make it sound like I've got some aunts and I've got family that I'm sure would have taken me in, but that wouldn't have... That would have done nothing for my self-esteem.
So how long did you serve?
So 4 years.
Combat?
2 years in Iraq, in the Al Anbar province, which is the Sunni province.
Yeah.
So I was in Rupa and Kabesa.
One of the other things, Christian Isley, is I would think to myself, and I don't want to belabor this, I want to talk about Harborgate and the future of our lives, but I would think to myself that even with the incredible structure of being in the armed service, that when you would get out, you'd lose it again, man. You know what I mean? It's like, hi, I'm back. What do I do now?
Yeah, no, I went right back to square one. I mean, I was, again, the story gets a little, I was married at the time. I was pretty well situated. My wife was very successful. I got married while I was in the military, in case you're wondering.
Yeah,
she came out of nowhere,
I'd go see this play. I'd go see the Christian Isley story. Yeah. That's what I'd go see.
People always say I should write one. So I had a home to come back to and a wife to come back to, and there was not that financial pressure.
Oh, so there was some stability then when you came back?
For about 3-4 months, and then she wanted me out and for her reasons. And so I went back to the North Side, and I ended up back on the North Side alone, drinking most of the time. But I had the GI Bill. I had the GI Bill, and I could use that.
Harold Washington. Right.
First to Harold Washington, I ended up, I don't even know how I ended up in a play there because I was still drinking so much, but I made it through that play, and and somewhat intact. And I was like, you know, I'm never going to get another chance to do this again. And I walked over to Columbia and I enrolled.
And the great thing about Christian in his short biography that I've read, he hasn't been in enough shows to have a lengthy biography yet, but he was sort of mentored by Sheldon Patinkin, who I've known since I was a child and was one of the great theater artists in the history of this town and also a great human being. So if you're a protege of his...
I wouldn't call myself a protege, but he helped. He's everybody's protege. That was what was amazing about him.
Yeah, no kidding.
He mentored anybody. Call Bill Murray.
Yeah, call any of these guys. But I just think that's a good thing. We're going to talk more. Christina McCloskey will now talk. I don't know if her background is as... It's a fascinating, fascinating, chaotic, but there's a play in that, too. And Christian and I, so they're both here, and we will talk more about Harborgate, 16th Street's opening play of their Heroes season. It opens Thursday, runs through February 17th at a beautiful space. I want to talk to you both about that space, in Berwyn. It's 16th Street Theater, the number 168streettheater.org, theater spelled the conventional way. We'll be back after the news. Okay, I have another half hour with Christina McCloskey, the assistant director, and Christian Isley, who I'm trying to convince to write a play of his life, but at the moment he is a military consultant and an actor who is going to be in the 16th Street Theater's next production titled The Wolf at the End of the Block, a play by one of Chicago's leading young playwrights, Ike Holter, who will become the Black David Mamet by the time he's finished. What's that play about?
That's a complex play. It's probably easier to just talk about the themes that it touches upon.
Heroes.
Heroes, and also...
You have a starring role in this?
No, sir. No, it's a very contained role, but it's a fascinating scene. It goes on for about, 10-15 minutes or something.
Oh, nice. Ike's a good writer, man.
He's an excellent writer.
Yeah, he really is.
And I saw it when they had done it over at Teatro Vista just a year earlier. I had auditioned for it over there as well. And
well, come back before
I was great to get another crack at it.
Come back before that opens, and we'll do a whole show about that.
Yeah.
Now I want to talk to you too. You are both relatively new, Christina. You're relatively new to Chicago. You've been here about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you come from?
So I came from Virginia, and that's where I went to school, and that's where I finished up high school, went to college.
And studying theater arts or
drama, good old general drama degree.
And where'd you do your time?
Yeah.
Do my
where'd you throw your fire extinguishers?
Where'd I dump my money? University of Virginia.
Okay, so you're in Virginia. Virginia, you look north, and up there is New York, and you look west, and over here is Chicago. And why did you choose to come here?
I know, and that was a big question. It's a lot of them. There's a huge network of UVA, especially the drama grads who are up in New York.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just not a New York girl, and I have plenty of friends who very much are. And I have to say, you know, that standard, you know, I love to visit, but I just, there's something about, I feel like one of my friends told me, who had lived in both places. He was an actor. He lived in L.A. He lived in Chicago. He lived in New York.
Yeah.
And he said that in Chicago, your roommate, who is also an actor, of course, will tell you, you know, I saw a great posting for you and you should go out for it. Like Christian was telling me in the lobby, like he's done that before.
Yeah.
And then he'll grab a beer with you after.
Sure.
And in New York, with your roommate and your other three roommates who are all also actors.
Right.
You sneak out when you go to audition.
Yeah, of course.
You don't want them to know.
Well, this has always been traditional, and I'm sure you're getting the sense of it now.
The competition.
A really nurturing town.
Exactly.
I mean, Chicago is, and it's almost become a cliche, but I mean, it is so nurturing for theater artists here that they really will give a helping hand up. I mean, it's true of every company that I know in this town. You found that to be true.
Absolutely. And that's what I was thinking of in terms of
I just, that the type of environment that I was getting the vibes from in terms of New York was so competitive and cutthroat.
Yeah.
And I had people who I lived in Chicago for years, were at grad school, who would just sit and talk at me for 40 minutes about how wonderful and supportive this town was. Yeah. And I wanted to be in a place where it was a community, where there were collaborators and people were not possessive or holding their secret actors or plays right. together, but sharing.
There is not here. I mean, Chicago has produced a number of major theater stars. But there doesn't seem to me, and I've been covering this scene for, 40-some years now, where there is that intense drive to... The definition of success here is not necessarily stardom.
Mm-mm.
The definition of success here is doing good work. Do you both agree? Is that a sense... Am I wrong, or is that still true?
No, I think it's... I think
is that
most,
how you
most,
feel?
Most of the actors that I come across, they know what it's about. I don't think anybody's unambitious.
But that
can't
be
the goal.
To
you know,
be in
if the goal is stardom, then you're going to quit after 2 years because you're not going to be a star.
Exactly.
You got a better chance of getting hit by lightning.
Yeah.
You know, but what there is a real community. I don't love everybody in the community.
Well, of course
but,
not.
But it's sort of it's analogous to the, yeah. to the army, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to hit that too hard, but it is a brotherhood. You're thrown in with a group of people. You have a common goal when you're doing a play.
Yep.
And you don't know necessarily about each other's backgrounds. You can be from different walks of life. And you might not necessarily, I've worked with some people that, I wasn't completely fond of, but you see them 6 months later, you give them a big hug.
Yeah, look what we went through. You've been through this thing.
You were through it with me.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's a good attitude. Okay, you two, you obviously have just seen very recently the 16th Street Theater for the first time, the physical space of it. You have seen other theaters in Chicago. You, Christian, have worked at the Red Orchid, which is arguably the most intimate theater in the history of theater in this city. The 16th Street, it looks comparatively like Soldier Field. What do you think? How did you find it? What did you think of it? I'm really interested, like your visceral first response to walking in, great lobby, nice book, I don't know, and Filmer, the great Ann Filmer, has decorated the lobby for this specific show. And then you walk in the theater, and what do you think?
I was really excited. I like small spaces. Most of the shows that I've done have been in relatively small spaces.
Yeah, I like that too.
And I don't know what I would... I don't know if I could perform it. I've gotten very used to that. It seems to suit me, and I'm very comfortable with it. So I would be intimidated. And I don't like being... I don't like the audience far away. I don't want to. I like it when they're
well because it can't get much closer than in Red Orchid.
And the steep space is really great, and they really utilize that space very well. Artistic Home's got a great small space. There's a lot of great. That's where I want to work right now. Is the best storefronts in Chicago, and Chicago's got a lot of them.
Christina, what did you think? What was your first impression?
The first thing I did
You went there probably and interviewed with Anne face to face, or did
so
she
I did
hire
a
you
phone call.
Yeah.
Phone call with her.
You told us that, yeah.
So, yeah, totally blind, walked in and, didn't even, had to do the whole figuring out, how do I get out to Berwyn?
Yeah, right.
Which, sure. On the phone call, the first 10 minutes, Anne going, are you sure you know where it is? are you sure you know what you're in for? And I'm like, yeah, I'm on it. Let's do this. And from a very technical, theater perspective, I freaked out because the set was built. Day one, we walk in. The outline of the set is on the stage because they're not renting out that space.
Yeah, right.
Which is, from someone working from a lot of smaller storefronts, that's insane. To actually be like, oh, here's your set that you get to rehearse on right now versus, here's a classroom, here's a library room, here's this other space we rented. This is your home.
Right.
You get to be in it the whole time.
Yeah.
So that's
really
huge.
Something. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Have you two seen shows and visited places like Steppenwolf and the Goodman? Have you seen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been in the big ones.
Oh, yeah. No, those were the theaters that I was familiar with before I started acting.
Yeah, sure.
Goodman, because I'm a Chicagoan originally. once I graduated, though, I was like, well, I don't know anything about the theater culture in this town.
Yeah.
I started just going to see shows, and once a week, twice a week. And I mean, last year I think I just fell short of my goal to see 100 shows. I saw 99 shows last year.
Wow.
And
that'll keep you out of bars too.
Just nothing
wrong with that.
Yeah,
it'll keep you out of bars. We got to take a little break. I'm having so much fun with these two. Christina McCloskey is the assistant director, and Christian Isley is the military consultant and an actor who will be in the next show at the 16th Street Theater. But they both are involved in the show that opens Thursday and runs through February 17th. It is called Harbor Gate, H-A-R-B-U-R, Gate. The 16th Street Theater is in lovely Berwyn. A lot of nice restaurants over on Roosevelt Road. Make a night of it. It's a great space. Ann Filmer is directing, and it's 16thstreettheater.org for tickets. We'll talk more about that show. It's sort of a three-part themed, I don't know. You're the theater artist. What do I know? You're going to describe it right after this little break. We'll be right back.
There once was a girl named Jenny.
Oh, this is such a good song, but I can't play the whole thing because I'd rather talk to Christina McCloskey and Christian Isley, both of whom are involved in Harborgate, the new show of the new season at the 16th Street Theater. The great Ann Filmer, who is out there now in a dress rehearsal for the show. It opens Thursday and runs through February 17th. It is three parts. One is sort of two Army medics about to receive Purple Hearts. Is that one of the things? And you receive a Purple Heart, of course, for being wounded in battle.
Wounded in combat, yeah.
There's another one about two Marines engaging in a battle of the sexes while on a truck convoy on the way to Mosul. And then there's another one, a veteran suffering from PTSD, finding comfort when she meets a blind painter in the park. Those sound really provocative and interesting, all of them.
And they are.
Yeah. And it almost reads more as, acts feel so separated. They're almost more, they're chapters of the same book.
Yeah.
But they stream together so well because it's so many different stories, but it's also part of the same world, the same place.
Let me ask you, Christina, do you find, Anne always has the umbrellas for seasons. Is there a hero in each one of these parts, or is it a kind of bigger, kind of more mysterious kind of definition of hero?
It's such a loaded, that's the thing, is what is your definition?
Yeah, exactly. Sure.
I think it's figuring out, for me, the biggest part of the show is people figuring out how to live in the best way based on the situation that they're in. So whether or not, you would define someone who is doing the best that they can or moving forward or looking back and then being accepting pain and moving forward, a hero. And I think so.
This show must be particularly provocative for you, Christian. Yeah.
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, but I
has
think
it made you think about your own experiences over there differently?
Those
or
are never far from my mind.
Yeah,
yeah.
I bet.
But I think it's honest in, what I always said about the guys I was in. My situation was maybe extreme when I joined, but it wasn't all that different for most of the guys that I was in with. If you're in infantry, if you're in 11 Bravo, you're a bullet stopper, and you're not there because, they're there for, it's a job. Maybe you're 18 and you've already got two kids and the chicken plant closed, or you're trying to get away from gang life, or a lot of people use basic training as rehab. Not a lot of people who have better avenues, who have scholarships or something, are enlisting. So we're not necessarily the best and the brightest. We're there for our own troubled reasons. Yeah. And so we kind of walk in with our own problems, and we do. I'm very proud of the service that we did, but then when you leave, you know, it doesn't necessarily prepare you
for
anything. It's yeah. blowing stuff up.
And, but in reading this, you feel that Kathleen Cahill, the playwright, has captured it accurately. We were talking early on about it's both a physical, you're saying, you know, physical advisor, and also a psychological advisor too.
Just trying to make sense of the whole experience.
Yeah.
Because on one hand, you're very proud. On one hand, you're very questioning. On one hand, there's horrible stuff, but it's also sort of exciting. I mean, and because this play focuses on women.
Yeah, exactly.
Mostly,
no kidding.
Yeah.
There can be a sort of a double. It can be that much more difficult.
This question of identity, too, of that, you know, how you are part of a team, you're part of a brotherhood, but it is most of the time deemed that way. It's a brotherhood.
When you first read the show,
mm-hmm.
And I know that there often a play can have this incredible transformation from page to stage. It's a remarkable, it's like watching a flower bloom from nothing, even as good as it could be on the page. What was it like for you? I mean, I don't know if you'd studied the Vietnam War or knew many veterans. It must have come as much of it must have come as a revelation for you. Yeah,
I'm a Navy brat. So,
are you?
So yeah, my dad was in the Navy for 35 years,
and you moved all around the country,
mm-hmm.
uh-huh.
and
all
the
around
world.
The world,
all around
yeah.
the world. Yeah. So,
oh, so you are familiar with.
Well, that's the thing is I have a secondhand experience, but I also understand a certain, you know, a little bit about more of like the community that forms. I mean, especially there was a point in time that we were stationed in Italy in a tiny fishing village. And it was a situation of every single person that worked on the ship there. That was your community. That was your family. That was
sure,
your home.
Sure.
Because you were all in, you were isolated there together.
Yeah.
So I can't, you know, in terms of even that little perspective that I had from being a kid translated to, you know, a war zone.
Yeah.
You're isolated. You are there. That's who you're. Those are the people who have your back. Those are the people that are your even remind you of America, of home, or wherever you come from.
I think it's fascinating that Anne is you know, you guys don't know her as well as I do, but Anne is a very smart person. I think it's terrific that she got the two of you involved. You may have many, many other skills as an assistant director, but that level of understanding, I think, is an important thing here. And I think it's also important to bring you on. I don't care if you're cast in the next show or not. I like the title, The Wolf at the End of the Block. but to bring you on, just to bring a sort of increased or heightened veracity to everything. You know what I mean?
And honestly, even just the Christian shared some videos of just the, you know, recreational time that you guys had.
Huh.
That was some of the most valuable, like, researches was just like seeing what, comrades, friends who
yeah.
were just
yeah.
living, like, the day to day, like in the movies and everything, what you're seeing, like the heightened, utmost, you know, situation. But something that I love about the second chapter of the show is seeing, or even actually all chapters, is seeing, like, this is what people go through in their day-to-day life, both after and during their service. And sometimes that includes extraordinary, you know, situations, which of course unfold because this is a show.
Yeah.
So that you need those moments to happen, those magical moments. But a lot of it is just like what happens after, or what happens just on a car ride.
Yeah, well, no, it's not all Black Hawk Down, you know.
Right,
stuff
yeah,
like
yeah.
happens, and you realize we still got two more years here.
Yeah. Well, you two are delightful. You are, to my mind, the future of Chicago theater here. I mean, you guys are smart.
I'm blushing.
Huh?
I'm blushing.
Well, you should be blushing, but it happens. I don't know if Sheldon Bettingen blushed. I'm not sure he was even on the radio just 60 years ago or whenever that would have been. But as a long time lover of Chicago theater, just meeting the two of you lets me know it's in good hands, good, interesting hands, too. You know, and then when you guys start making movies together, and you'll be on the Golden Globes one night 4 years from now. And
there you go.
There you go. And Ann Filmer has an incredible, incredible eye for talent. And you guys, you like working with Ann. You don't have to say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the cast, too, I want to mention.
Yeah.
They are. She's assembled a great, great cast. And
they're everyone. Like, seeing it all come together today.
Yeah.
Even when, you know, and I, of course, you know, I had to leave when they were about to, like,
yes,
start.
Yes, I'm sure. Like,
see.
Yes, I have to be on the radio.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I have to go.
I have to go.
Spread the news. But, like,
when's the formal opening? I know it starts previews
on the 11th.
Thursday.
Yes.
The press opening's a
18th.
Week from then, the 18th.
Mm-hmm.
You guys will be in the audience, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Every night.
If I can get a ticket. If I can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, they added 2 new rows of seats.
What?
There.
They've ruined the 16th Street Theater.
No,
that's
no,
unbelievable.
No.
I'm joking.
Even more intimate.
Yes, even more intimate. They're just aspiring to
closer.
Be a Red Orchid Theater, yeah. The most intimate theater in the on the globe. It is a real, real pleasure to meet you two, Christina McCloskey and Christian Isley. The show is Harborgate. It's a 16th Street Theater's first play of the new Heroes season. Each season is themed by Ann Filmer. It opens Thursday. In Berwyn, just go to 16th Street Theater. That's a 16th Street Theater, ER.org for tickets. And find these two characters in the audience and say hello. Thank you both. And
thank you.
Continued success. You got to keep coming on to tell me what you guys are up
to.
Well,
I'll come back every week.
Wolf at the End of the Block.
Your next year. The Wolf at the End of the Block. We'll have Ike on, and you come in. What are you going to do for that show?
Can I be the assistant director for that too?
Wouldn't that be great?
Lillian Brown's doing that one. So.
Well, you'll both be back on the show because I think the future of Chicago theater is in good hands with the two of you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening, Lise Graham. Thanks for producing, Aubrey Mumpower. You haven't lost a step in the 2 weeks we've been gone.